And let me just say this, you have permission to praise the Lord here. You have permission to bring honor and glory to His name. Nothing wrong if you want to cry a tear. Nothing wrong if you want to say amen. Nothing wrong if you want to praise the Lord. Nothing wrong if you want to sit and be quiet and go home and thank God for everything that He's done for you. Let God speak to your heart today. In fact, let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we pray that You should be with us in these next moments together. I thank You for this good crowd. And Lord, I realize that I don't know every need. I cannot meet every need. I don't know every burden, and I cannot take care of that burden. But Lord, I know You can, and You know every one of them. And Lord, I pray today, as we've had many get saved and many now wanting to be baptized, and we're seeing a movement in our church, and we thank You for that. And Lord, we pray for anyone else today that maybe doesn't know You, or maybe they're not settled in their walk, that God, they'll, as we've had some recently, rededicate their lives to You. And they'll set out anew to serve You. Lord, how we need that today. Lord, I pray and thank You, Holy Spirit of God, for all that you've done and all that You're going to do. We pray You'd move amongst us. And we'll be careful, Lord, to give You all the honor and glory. May we leave this place, not with this church's name on our lips, not with a preacher or a family, but Lord, may we leave this place with Your name upon our lips, and especially in our heart. And we'll be careful to give You the glory now in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. All of God's people said. Amen. John chapter 3 says, there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto Him, Rabbi, we know that Thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these things, do these miracles that Thou doest, except God be with him. Verse 3, Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, and I know most of you know this, but that means truly, truly. I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Right. Nicodemus saith unto him, How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? And Jesus answered, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the Spirit of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto thee, verse 7, marvel not that I said unto thee, ye must be born again. The wind bloweth, and we preached on this last week, the wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh and whither it goeth. So is everyone that is born of the Spirit. Nicodemus answered and said to him, How can these things be? Jesus answered and said unto him, Art thou a master of Israel, and knowest not these things? Now I'm going to stop there. I would encourage you to go home today and keep reading it. And we are, in these next several weeks, not only going to keep reading it, we're really going to be in it and dwell in it and open it up and meditate on it. Because the answer that the Lord Jesus Christ gives in John chapter 3 really has transformed the world. We are, church, this morning looking at the passages of Scripture that the Lord has used in such a mighty way. John chapter 3, even someone who doesn't go to church, or maybe has been away from God or away from church, or maybe when they were a kid they went to church and they've grown over the years, but they remember. They don't remember much about the Bible. They say, you know, I remember John 3. Even at the football game, when I was a little kid at football games, there'd be some guy hold up a sign and said, John 3:16. And we all know that there's famous passages of Scripture. And this morning we're going to look at that statement that Jesus says in verse 7, ye must be born again. Jesus makes it very clear here that ye must be born again. This is a radical statement that Christ is making. Now, I know sometimes people say, Preacher, what do you mean a radical statement? Jesus is the ultimate radical. This is totally different than anything that was ever said before or since. No one makes the claims that Jesus makes, in particular in John chapter 3. Now, we begin this morning by way of introduction, and I'm not going to preach real long because we've got several to get baptized, and I want to give us plenty of time. But I want us to notice real quickly, church, this morning, we see by introduction, we see this searcher named Nicodemus. And his name in Greek, and you know the New Testament written in Greek, his name, the first part of his name is where we get the name Nike. How many of you have heard of Nike before? You may have some Nikes on today. And in fact, I think I saw a few Nikes around. Nike means victory. And Nicodemus, his name really means someone who has victory for the people. That's what his name means. He was a rich man, by all accounts. In fact, tradition says he may have been one of the richest men in that whole area at the time. He was a very respected man. Look what it says again back in verse 1. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. He no doubt probably was a brilliant man. There were 6,000, it is believed at this time in the life, at this time of Christ, that there were 6,000 Pharisees. And a Pharisee was someone who really believed in what's called the codified law, and they really tried to live by the law of the Jews. And what they would do, they would take the basic law, and then they would add like 24 points under that law, and they spent their life trying to live it themselves, and then try to tell others how to live it. And they really ran the whole place. And of course, there's politics going on. There's a lot of things going on. For Nicodemus to come to the Lord Jesus Christ is a big deal. That's why it's used here in Scripture. And he was also not only a rich man and a respected man, but he was also a religious man. By the way, even today, I've been reading a lot about this, of course, and one commentary I read is like, he is the typical picture of the person today, of the man today. You and I would respect someone who was rich, even today. We live in a world that is money-driven. We think about money constantly. We look to money. We look to things. We make whole decisions and life-altering things in our minds. And don't misunderstand me. I'm like everyone else. I wouldn't mind having a few beans, more beans in the pot. Amen. And we understand that. And so he was respected in that way. He was also respected in the fact that he was a respectful man. He was really trying his best from all accounts to live that type of a life. But this is important because he had what you and I would say, now that man is successful. He has arrived. He was even a religious man. This was not somebody way out and had some, you know, crazy belief or, no. He was the establishment at that time. And they looked at him this way. And so here's this searcher, and he comes to Jesus by night. And boy, there's a lot written about that. I won't get into all that. But then we see not only the searcher, but this statement that Christ makes. And Jesus says, ye must be born again. Nicodemus, it's all right that, you know, you're rich. That's a blessing from the Lord. You are respected. You're religious. But Nicodemus, that doesn't mean anything. You must be born again. You have to be born from above. In fact, actually what the text there really is saying, that you must be born from above. You have to have something. This is not turning over a new leaf. This is not joining the church. This is not even being baptized. And all those things are wonderful things. Jesus is making this totally different. This is where the rubber meets the road. He is saying, you must be born again. Now, the world chides at this. Oh, you're born again. You're one of those born again people. You're one of those born again believers. And they make fun of that. There's people that talk about going to church, but the question is, but have you been born again? In fact, did you get under conviction? Many of you have been sharing with me how the Lord's working on your heart and your life. That's the Holy Spirit of God. That's not me. That's not the church. That's the Lord. In fact, that's that Holy Spirit that we talked about last week that's moving where He chooses and He desires, and He's the one that is speaking into your heart. He's the one, it's not just in a church service. Many of you know this. It's in the afternoon. It's at work. It's when you walk. It's when you're sitting on the side of your bed. It's when you least expect it. The Lord will come and say, hey, you need to get right. We all know this. And so Jesus makes this statement, ye. I like it says ye. That's all of us. Imagine this, church. I was thinking I visualize things a lot. Just imagine Jesus is talking to Nicodemus in it, but he's also, that words that he's saying here is not only hitting Nicodemus, but it's shooting over his shoulders through all eternity. What a powerful picture we see. Because we look at this and say, wait a minute. I may not be rich, and I may not be respected, and I might not be religious, but I need to be born again. I may not have what Nicodemus had, but I'm searching. But guess what? Also, the introduction here, he's talking to the one that can. The master. He calls him rabbi, which he knew that he was a teacher come from God. He said, look, I don't know what all this is, but I know there's something to it. I don't have all the details. I don't know what all this is, but I know that there's something real here. In fact, he realizes here that this was more than religion. It is more than religion. In fact, I think when we think about getting saved and coming to church, I want people to, I'm a pastor, I want you to come to church all the time. I spend my life in church. I'm down here many times when nobody's around. I love it. But it's more than that. I'm a Baptist, I'm not ashamed of that, but it's not about being Baptist. It's, in fact, I wouldn't be a Baptist if we didn't make the emphasis about Christ and Christ alone. It must be about Christ. The Bible says, in Christ, who is our life. The early church made Christ the very essence. If you get nothing from me, some of y'all that know me personally, if I die today, you never talk to me again, or you move away and I never see that preacher again. Please know this. My whole emphasis and goal here is not to have a kingdom, not to become rich, not to get a name, but to simply lift up Christ. And I thank God that this church has taught me that. Jesus said, if I be lifted up, right here in John chapter 3, will draw all men unto me. See, it's Christ that changes our life. I will let you down, no doubt. I let myself down. How many have ever let yourself down?
Sure.
But Jesus never lets you down. Now let me give you some thoughts here before we have a baptism. And as far as the message goes, we see this really is it's a demand. Jesus Christ makes a demand here. He doesn't say you might could if you don't mind. He doesn't say if you can work it in. He doesn't say you kind of need to get born again. No, he makes it an imperative. He says ye must be born again. Nicodemus, what you're doing is not enough. He doesn't say what Nicodemus is doing is evil or bad. He says, but that's not what it's about. Going to church is not evil or bad. Going to the youth group, helping out, giving, doing what you can for the Lord. There's nothing evil or wrong about those things. We're not here to bash anyone this morning. But Nicodemus, that's not enough. But let me give you four thoughts before we have a baptism and go home. Number one, it was a confusing command. Nicodemus was confused. He's like, wait a minute. You must be born again. I remember hearing this as a kid. I was like, born again? And our minds go to just like, wait a minute. I know I'm not a brilliant person, but I know enough to know that that's impossible. In fact, when you look at the text, Nicodemus, verse 4 says unto him, how can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? This reminds me of atheists online right here. The online says, what about this? And I'll come up and say, look, you're missing the whole point. He wasn't talking about physically being born again. See, Nicodemus was doing what a lot of us do, and that is looking through the eyes of the flesh, not of faith. He was looking through practicality things, pragmatic things. And God's ways are above our ways. God looks beyond those things. God looks beyond this flesh that we have. Now, he's the one that gives us this flesh. The Lord knows all about it. He said, no, you're missing it. In fact, Jesus actually says in verse 10, art thou a master of Israel and knoweth not these things? Are you sure you understand? I see so many people that think they understand. Like, no, wait a minute. You're missing it. If you don't realize you must be born again, you're missing it. It's not going to church. It's not wearing a suit. It's not doing something. It is simply trusting Christ and Christ alone. I love what the Constitution at Cook's Chapel says. It says, plus nothing, minus nothing. There's nothing else. Christ and Christ alone. He was confused. See, here's what happens. This is why, by the way, you said, brother, I thought you said it was radical. Oh, it's radical. Because Jesus is looking at Nicodemus and saying, the whole Jewish structure, that you think is making you right with God, Christ is saying it means nothing. Not in this area. In fact, it's not man's power. You see, when I've shared my testimony, when I was a young person away from the Lord, I thought, well, how do I know that Christ is the only way? How do I know that, you know, where I was raised here in the hills of West Virginia, that we've got it figured out and nobody else does? And so I thought, well, and I started studying. I realized something. The other religions don't make the claim that Christ makes. I didn't know that. I thought, well, here's what I heard here in the hills, and some of y'all from the hills know about this. Well, we all going to heaven. We just going different ways and everything. That's not accurate. Church, listen to me. Some of you may have heard it, or maybe you feel that. I kind of felt that. I said, well, you know, they're sincere and everything. I went to school with people that did believe different things. I said, well, you know, they're sincere. But Jesus makes radical statements. Jesus makes offense. This is offensive. This is saying to whole religious beliefs, this is not about religion. It's not about you, you know, throwing salt over your shoulder, or spinning a prayer wheel, or meditating, or, you know, whatever religious belief. We've got a picture in our school in a book I show kids all the time of a young girl that has a pot of fire on her head and a pot of fire in her hands to burn the impure thoughts out of her head and the deeds out of her hands. And we all know that that does not work. It's not what comes out of the man that defiles the man. It's what's inside the man that defiles the man is what Christ declares. And the only way to have that changed is to be born anew. It's to be born again. It is not in man's power to do this. You cannot do this. Well, I'm going to turn over a new leaf. You ever tried that? You don't have to raise your hand. I've got some pretty good proof. I can just go up here to Planet Fitness or any workout place. And let me see their numbers from like January or December 28th. You know, as soon as I get through these Christmas meals, I'm going to join that gym. I'm going to work out. I'm going to get back in shape. By Valentine's Day, that place is empty again. Hey, you know what I'm talking about? By the way, it's a national, international phenomenon. No, you say, preacher, what do you mean? We don't have the power. You ever said this? I'm going to read this whole book. And you get about two paragraphs in and you're falling asleep. I'm going to sit down with my husband and watch golf. About three holes in, you're like, you like this? My wife, we're going to watch the Hallmark Channel. I'm like, oh dear. Whatever it is, by the way, I'm not making fun of what you like. The truth of the matter is it's not within our power. We can't do that. I've been trying to fill in for Mr. Tedder, our math teacher, and he's in pre-calculus. You ever seen pre-calculus? I can teach you. I mean, I know quite a bit. I've been here 25 years, man. I know the Abaca English. But I got that pre-calculus. I was like, what's he saying? Now, if I stayed around it enough and educated, I could do it. But what we're saying, y'all know this. Man's power. We might could learn some calculus. We might could watch a TV show that we don't, whatever. But the truth of the matter is, we can't be born again no matter how hard we try. When you try to turn over a new leaf, man, you realize, man, I can't turn over a new leaf. I can't hardly get out to the parking lot before that leaf's already turned back. Somebody maybe battles a habit. Maybe they have some burden in their life. Say, man, I'm going to quit that. I say, man, I'm so weak. And see, Christ knows that about us. Christ knows that. It's not within man's power. Hey, it's not within man's wisdom. You would think today with all the internet, all the stuff we have at our disposal, we would be wise beyond years, but we all know this. It seems as though we're becoming more and more foolish. The fool has said in his heart there is no God, and we're becoming foolish because of it. It's not religion. I've seen some beautiful cathedrals, beautiful religious institutions, buildings. In fact, their artwork I'm so impressed by. But that does not change on the, you can go to a beautiful edifice of a building with beautiful statues, but does not change the heart of man. In fact, it is not man's design. Man would not do this. We'd say, oh, you just come on to church and you just do what I think you ought to do and everything will be okay. No, Christ makes it about him. So Nicodemus, like many people, by the way, that's not just Nicodemus. That's Summers in Mercer County. That's West Virginia. That's the United States. There's people that are still confused about this. Wait a minute. I don't understand this. And people say religious. Like, no, it's not religion. It's being born. It's having a walking, talking relationship with Jesus Christ. John is writing this. If you read John chapter 1, he says, he must increase, but I must decrease. John makes it very explicitly about Christ and Christ alone. That's why we have the famous verse in John 3:16, for God so loved the world, that whosoever believes in him. You see, when you're at the graveside, church doesn't matter anymore. Dress doesn't matter anymore. Your friendships and your bank accounts don't matter anymore. But what does matter, and it shouts there at that time, is whether you know Christ as your personal Savior. That's what matters right then. That's what counts. So it was a confusing. Secondly, also, it was a convicting command. It was convicting. That's why we don't like church sometimes. Well, that church was judgmental. That preacher, I heard this week I heard some statements about myself, and it's been bothering me. Like, am I mean? But many times what it is, I remember going to church and I didn't always like the preacher either, or somebody in church would say something and I'd be like, I don't like that. But what I've learned as a preacher is this, though. It isn't necessarily the preacher. It could be, or the people. It could be. But many times what it is, it's the Spirit of the Lord convicting us. Jesus says, you must be born again. In fact, you could almost say, how dare you say that to Nicodemus? But who's saying it? You and I couldn't get by with that, but it's convicting. Here's the thing, I wrote this down. Everyone, it's for everybody. No matter who you are, no matter the background, we're going to have several baptized this morning. Some are younger, some are older. Some have totally different backgrounds in church. Some that you and I may never know. God knows all their life. That's the way it works. Whosoever will, let him come. I asked somebody yesterday, my brother Austin, my son, said, tell me what you know about you must be born again. I'm preaching that tomorrow. He said, well, Dad, you know this. He said, that was the very passage of scripture that George Whitefield used to preach. I knew he'd know all this, but during the great revivals, the great awakening, that many of our ancestors were a part of. And really, God used this verse to have a national revival in the United States of America. Hard for us to imagine this today. We study it in school. We look about it. But he kept preaching this. And they asked George Whitefield, they said, why do you keep preaching you must be born again? You know what he said? Because you must be born again. And he kept preaching it. And people get under such conviction. They literally were getting, he would preach and George Whitefield would get up on a box and he would preach till his voice box bled. He had like his eyes were messed up a little bit. He kind of had one eye that was messed up. He had kind of a birth defect. But God used him despite his defects, despite his inabilities. God used him. You know why he did? Because he preached, ye must be born again. It matters not that we have this beautiful, wonderful country with all the resources. And man, they had no idea how rich and powerful it would become. That matters not, church, this morning. If you're not born again, matters not. It was convicting command. The Bible says there's none righteous, no, not one. Not even one person can stand before the Lord. Not even one. Not even my grandmother, not even my papa, not even my neighbor that I don't ever see them do anything wrong. There's none righteous. Not only was it convicting, but it's also a courageous command. Jesus is making, he's saying stuff right here that is going to get him crucified, by the way. He wasn't crucified just because he was nice to people. He wasn't crucified because he, walked on water. That didn't help anything. But Jesus was crucified because he said, I'm the temple. He said, I'm the law. In fact, John chapter, y'all know the verse, don't you? John chapter 14. We know it by heart, don't we? In fact, John chapter 14, I'm just going to read it. That way I won't misquote it because my brain's so dumb. John chapter 14, verses 1 through 6. He makes this claim. Let not your heart be troubled. We preach this all the time at funerals, but I'm going to preach it this morning. Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house were many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. Man, can you imagine, by the way? He's pretty good at preparing places. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And whither I go, you know, and the way you know. And Thomas, like a lot of us, maybe some of you this morning, saith unto him, Lord, we know not whither thou goest. I love Thomas's honesty here. How can we know the way? You know, you ever feel like you're the only one? You look around, am I missing it? You may be like Thomas this morning. And Jesus makes it very clear. We all know this. One of the most famous passages in all of Scripture. Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by what? Me. That's a claim. That's highly offensive, because that's saying to the Buddhist, to the Hindu, to the Catholic, to the Baptist, to the Jew, to whoever, he is making an exclusive claim. It's courageous what he's saying here. He is looking at Nicodemus, this ruler that's, in a manner of speaking, in this world, that's in the world's eyes, would be higher than Christ. Christ is just, at this point, is just some leader of some sect. Now, obviously, we know that's not the case. But from the world's eyes, Nicodemus would be up here and Jesus would be here. And Jesus, in that conversation, goes from here to saying, oh, no, Nicodemus, you are the one. I am God. It's a courageous command. It is an exclusive claim. You could just see Nicodemus say, who does he think he is? Who does Christ think he is? That's not what we see here. In fact, I think he was absolutely searching. I think he was ready. And Jesus sits there. He could have done a lot of things. It was perfect because he's perfect. And he makes this exclusive, courageous command. And he's saying it to you. He says, yeah, but I'm going to do this and I'm going to do that. Well, Jesus is speaking to you this morning. Well, I might wait. And Jesus is saying to you, don't wait. Yeah, but I've already done. And Jesus said, I don't care what you've already done. But you don't know who my dad is. He doesn't say this right here. Doesn't care who your dad is. Well, you don't know what I've been through. He does know what you've been through. And he still says, Nicodemus could have said, wait a minute, Jesus. I've done everything I've been told to do. I don't know any better. I'm in this culture. I'm from here. Look at all my excuses. He could have had them. And by the way, we may have looked and said, hey, he's got a pretty good point, Jesus. But Jesus said, yes, but you must be born again. It doesn't matter if you're a country boy or a city boy. It doesn't matter where you're from, whether you're from the north or the south, the east or the west, America or foreign. It doesn't matter. You must be born again. In fact, lastly this morning, it's a calling command. Jesus is calling whosoever will. Ye must be born again. It's calling. It's everybody. We can't get out of it. You know, sometimes I think people, well, let's just go through the church. I'm here this morning for a baptism. Let's just get them baptized. We'll get out, get us a sandwich, and head on out with our lives. Man, we're going to have a good life. I want you to have a good eternity. See, life, a lot more to this thing. I think sometimes we think about the nasty now instead of the sweet by and by. I'm thankful this morning. I've been to too many funeral services. I've been to too many hospitals. I see too much focus on this old world instead of what Christ is saying here. In fact, Jesus in John 14, Jesus in this chapter right here. In fact, he says it pretty simply. John writing in John 3:36, and we're going to spend a whole message on this. He says, he that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. And he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. We see it just 50, it's right here 50-50. You either know him or you don't. You're either going up or down. The old preachers used to say. I remember when I was reading some of these verses, I was talking in my own mind and heart, like, how do I know? How do I know for sure that heaven be my home? And the Bible says this, he that believeth on the Son hath, not going to have or might have, but hath. You know why? Because you have Christ's righteousness put to your account. When you are born again, you have the righteousness of God. This is called, in theology, the doctrine of imputation. You have the righteousness of Christ put to your account. Put to your account. I stayed in a class with one of the famous Bible teacher. As he had tears going down his face, he said, I didn't realize what it meant to be saved until I realized that Christ's account was going to be put to my account. That's why when Jesus was on the cross, he said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. They were crucifying the very one that was dying for them. He was taking sin upon himself. He was, as Romans says, he was bringing us back to himself. That's why we say amazing grace, how sweet the sound, saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found, was blind, but now I see. Because that only happens through Christ. And whosoever will, let him come. If you will call upon him, you can be born again. You can be born from above. Jesus will change you from the inside. He can turn not only your life around, but your eternity around. Many of you have already done that, and you're thankful. But if you're here this morning, and you've never put your faith and trust in Christ, look, I know churches may let you down. Preachers may have let you down. Family members, I've been there. I could share with you a lot. I understand that. I understand being discouraged. I understand. Say, man, I just don't know about it. I get it. Trust me. I really do. But when I read the verses and words of my Savior, marvel not. He says, marvel not that I said unto thee, ye must be born again. Let's all stand with every head bowed, every eye closed. Lord, we thank you today. Lord, I pray you speak to